I mean, it's like Christmas week every week. You know, during Christmas, everybody the week or two before, everybody is just nice and kind and happy, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. Right. That's every day for us. It's every day is the most wonderful time. It doesn't matter when it is, because when he's on the throne of our hearts, then every day is a day of victory. Amen? And one of the things that I really believe that God is doing, he's streamlining our thought process. That's what God's been working on, is streamlining every single person in here, your thought process, and he's working on all the distractions, right? We all, how many here have distractions? Okay, besides Jeremy and Kathleen. But everybody else working on the distractions, because they consume us, don't they? So many things in this world that are temporal consume us, and they suck up our time and our efforts and our energies, finances, whatever, and even our passion sometimes gets misplaced or skewed. And I really believe that God's turning that ship in each one of our hearts and removing the different distractions. And only we're the only ones that know, right, the issues of our own heart. Everybody around you can see the fruit, right?
Right.
We see the fruit in the Ham's marriage. It's strong. It's powerful. There's no lack. There's nothing missing. I wish ours was like that, honey. It will be after the conference. Thanks, baby. Okay. Listen, if you're married in here, you need to be with us for that weekend. It's going to be an amazing time. I don't care how long. What's that? Amen. Amen. Because it's been 35 or almost 35 years. Or did we hit 35 years? I don't know. It's close. She don't remember, so I'm good. We're close. We're right around there. We're dancing around that 35 mark. But you know what? I know there's still more that I need to grow in understanding when it comes to understanding women. And marriage. And the Word of God. Every aspect of life. The most important ones. We've still got work. And Dr. Ron and his wonderful wife Lily are coming in. And they've been married for, I don't know, I think 108 years or something like that. But they've got a lot of wisdom. Children. And they've gone through the whole gambit of things that you walk through with children. So they have a lot to deposit. You know, that's what I want to do. Every time when we bring someone in, I want to drain them of everything that they've gone through and all that they know in the things of God. I want to extract everything I can from them. And, you know, we're just so thankful for the men of God and the women of God that God has allowed us to be a part of our lives and to be able to either pour into or be poured into. Brother Charlie Sweet, he emailed or texted me the other day with a word that God gave him for me for this year. And it was just powerful. And just, man, I'll tell you, we've been fighting with that word. We are doing warfare with that word. And guess what? You're all in it. The text that he sent wasn't for us. He was for all of us working together, walking together, and expanding the kingdom together. And so he'll be with us this summer when he comes up. Andy Elms will be with us next month. I forget what date he comes in, the second or third weekend. I think he's here. I think he's staying for like 3 weeks or whatever. But he'll come, and Andy's always been a blessing. But we want, you know, those that are standing on the promises of God, walking in the fullness of God, we want to hear what God's doing in and through them. And so this morning, I believe that in America, there's a word that's coming to the Christian church, and that's pressure. We've already tasted some of it, haven't we? We've seen how you're treated if you proclaim Jesus Christ. That is until, you know, somebody gets almost killed on the football field, and then everything changes. But for the most part, when you're walking around, if you stand up in the middle of wherever you are, there are those that will agree with you and thank you, but there are those that will not agree. What shall we say? But I believe that God has prepared us for this time in this season. Tell your neighbor, say, I got to get ready. Right? Because every one of us have areas in our lives that we've got to grow in right now. Because pressure is coming. It's sort of like, you know, Dave Ramsey does that thing where you build up your emergency fund, right? You're supposed to have $1,000 in your savings account. That's your emergency fund. Why? Because you know so many times people say, well, I didn't expect it. Can I tell you? Expect your car breaking down. Even if it's a 2020 Chevy, right? Or an 09 Tundra. Yeah. But you expect it to break down. That's why he says, put $1,000. Your boiler is going to have a problem one day. Your windows are going to have to get replaced. Something is going to happen. It's not unexpected.
That's right.
Right? What's coming to the body of Christ is not unexpected.
Right.
What the devil has planned for these end times is not unexpected. And the power that God wants to pour out on the place is not unexpected either. So the victory is ours for those that walk in the word. But if you're like so many that don't even, this is a little bit hot, ain't it? Okay. No? All right. I thought maybe it was a little bit, maybe I should stop yelling and maybe that's the issue. I can't help it. I just get so excited. But so many times, you know, when unexpected things happen, then what do people do? They go to somebody else. I don't know what to do. I'm so glad you're here.
Amen.
We know what to do.
Amen.
Okay? We walk according to the word of God. Amen? Look at, turn your Bibles in to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 35 and 36. We're going to start there this morning. Pressure's coming. Pressure's coming. Pressure is coming. You're going to have pressure in your life. And that's where men and women of God shine the brightest. Because we can cast all our cares upon him. Isn't that good news? Oh, I remember we had to try to do it all right in the beginning? Exactly. None of us did. We still don't do it all right. But thank God we can trust him. Can I encourage you? Has nothing to do with how many mistakes you make. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. You're going to do more things wrong. Right? You're going to make more mistakes. And you're the only one that really cares. Isn't that true? Who beats you up more than you? You're the one that cares about your mistakes more than anybody. You go home and you think about it. Oh, they all think I'm an idiot. Yes, but that's besides the point. Because we all make idiotic decisions at times. Amen? We've all been there. You're the only one that goes home and meditates on it. And then sometimes you take it out on your wife. Because you're so upset with yourself. You ever do that? Walk in the house with an attitude? The hams don't, but we do. Sometimes the thoughts in my head, by the time I get home, she said, what's your problem? I don't have one. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. How do you know? Look at your face. Get rid of the furrowed eyebrow and all the wrinkles in your forehead. That's what she tells me. Can you please lose the wrinkles? We didn't do anything. I don't want to get rid of the wrinkles. I got to deal with this. And I don't want to let it go. I want to stew on it. I want to chew on it. I'm right. And you should get on my side and feel sorry for me too. We don't say all of those things, but we act like that at times, don't we? We want everybody on our side, especially our wives. And then they bring the word of the Lord and we don't like it. Me and my brother, two of us, not the hams. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Isn't that where it all belongs or begins? Your confidence. Right now, obviously, it's a playoff situation, and you can watch and see the quarterbacks that are mentally strong. Because that's what it comes down to. Each one of them have ability. Each one of them can throw that ball. Now, it depends on the team around them also, but you see the ones that start making major mistakes because that starts breaking down. The pressure comes like that pressure. No, I'm not naming anybody, but right, when the pressure comes, interceptions come, or they turn the wrong way to hand off the ball because the pressure gets so great in their mind that all of a sudden they start making wrong decisions. Or the brain isn't working fast enough, so therefore, oh, wait a minute, you ticked me off, honey, so you deserve the brunt of it. Wait a minute. No, nobody deserves your brunt. Your brunt is ugly. Nobody deserves that, because what you sow, you're going to, yeah, you don't want the brunt. That's not the good part of it all. But right now, we watch in the playoffs, and you can see the ones that stand in there that can think in the midst of pressure. The whole season is on the line right now. These last four teams are aiming for one goal, the Super Bowl. Everyone in here, we've got one goal, glorifying Jesus Christ. Right? They're aiming for some trophy that, you know, nobody will ever remember who won it in 10 years or five. Huh? Well, they keep throwing up in our face. Does anybody remember when the Bills won it the last time? Sorry, Mike. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look it. We've only got one and done, okay? And that was back in 69, so I don't have much room. But the reality is that as we walk through life, when the pressure comes, what decisions do we make? When pressure comes, do you lose your confidence? Because the Word of God said, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. When our confidence is in Christ, you don't have to be the man or the woman. When your confidence is in Him, you can believe that He's going to hear and answer your cry. My wife was trained by her mom. It's okay if I bring that up, right? As far as your prayer and hiding in the bedroom and not really saying anything to me in the early marriage years. Okay, I just said it, but I just want to make sure. There's a conference. We're going to get it right at this conference, baby. But her mom wouldn't say anything but would go in the room and just pray and cry out to God. But wouldn't say anything to her husband. And when we first got married, Bren would do the same thing. Her heart was breaking. You know, we weren't getting along so good. She had a lot of growing to do. And she that look didn't say you agree with me, love. But she would go in the room and she would just pray and cry out to God, which is powerful. And then one of her friends came and said, look it, he's not getting it. You need to tell him. He's not that sharp. And then she did. She said, I want out. I said, why? I'm not that sharp, apparently. I'm like, why? Yeah, she said, I was ready to go home with my father. Jump in the truck, drive back to Biloxi, Mississippi. I said, well, why? She said, because you're a jerk. You imagine? You need this marriage seminar, I'll tell you. Not as much as me. But yeah, that's what she said. I never forgot when she said that. Man, it broke my heart. And it took all my confidence. Because I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I was me. I was doing a heck of a business here, you know? I'm working, I'm paying the bills. I love my wife. I got it all going on. Nope, I didn't. And when she said that, I said, well, what are we going to do? And I didn't know what to do because I'm doing everything I knew. I know I was doing better than my father did. That didn't take much. I was doing better than he was, but I still was blowing it, and I couldn't figure out how. So I had to get somebody else involved in my life. Pastor Fink. Yeah. He had no problem being honest with me. It was quite a session we had. And then we started praying together a whole lot more. Can I tell you, that changes everything. We started reading the Word of God a lot more. And that changes everything. And then I started getting my confidence back. And let me tell you something. It's got great rewards. Just want you to know. We start doing what the Word of God says. Everything starts to change. It goes on in verse 36. Says, for you have need of endurance. There's one thing the church is going to be needing right now. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You know, confidence is what the children of God are to bring to the whole world. We're supposed to be the most confident people on the face of the planet, not in who we are, but in what His Word says. And every time somebody asks a question, we should have the Word of God, the answer through the Word of God. Hey, brother, I feel like a loser. You're not. You are victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Every situation in every life, I can't make it. Yes, you are, because He never leaves you or nor forsakes you, and He's going to carry you when you're too weak. That's what He does. I've stumbled and I've fallen, yes, but you fell into His hand, and His arm is never too short for any of your situations. So whenever we start to speak the Word of God, we'll have what the Word says in everything. Whether it's your job, whether it's your finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your children, wherever it is, you will have the victory when you stand on the Word of God, because you'll receive what was promised if you're in Christ. God is not a promise breaker. We are. Don't be looking at me. Look at somebody else. Every one of us in here broken promises, but our God never has. And the wonderful thing about Him, He never will. If He said it in His Word, His promise is as good as gold. Like one man said, he said, you should have silver and gold in your safe. So why is that? He said, because that's God's money. Man didn't make that one. The stuff that man made isn't worth anything. But what God made, you can take to the bank. I wouldn't suggest going to the bank, but you could take it to the bank. So our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in Him and it's in His Word. So many are worrying about the stock market and the Fed and inflation and all of that stuff, the stuff that we can't change. How many people have lost confidence? How many people are committing suicide because they look at the signs of the times and they don't see any hope? Can I tell you, every time they look at you, hope rules and reigns in that moment. Whenever they come with all of their fears, you say, hang on a second, come here, give me your hand. We stopped at the pizza place yesterday after we went and looked at a church, and Art says to the young lady that was the waitress, he said, hey, you know, can we pray for, she's getting ready to have a baby, I guess, today, right? Tomorrow. She's having a baby tomorrow, and she's waitressing, and just so proud of her. So I never saw her before, but he says, you know, can we pray for you? She said, sure. I said, give me your hand, because it wasn't letting her get away, right? The minute they say yes, you have to act on it, because you know if you give them a couple minutes, yeah, okay, you can pray for me when you leave, and they try to get away. I just said, can you give me your hand? And we just prayed for that young lady, and we're believing that the promise of God is yea and amen in her life. And that her and that little baby are going to be sitting here one day, right? That's our thought process. That's why we grab a hold of it, because that's the promise of God, and we have confidence that He's able to do what He said He's going to do, even through broken vessels, vessels that have weaknesses in their lives, and each one of us do. But so many are so worried about the things they can't control. How about we do? We focus on what we can control. We can control our tongue, and let's focus on that. So we speak life, and then therefore it changes other people's lives around us. Each and every one of us. But we've got to have a genuine desire to delight the Lord. That's the key. Is your desire, is the plan and the purpose of God this year, is it to delight the Lord? Not in the Lord. We're going to get that. He already said He's going to go with us and He's going to be all around us. But is the goal to delight the Lord? Is that one of our written plans? Is that in our little book? I want to delight the Lord in the way that I speak, in the way that I give, in the way that I act, in the way that I bless other people, in the way that I spend my time, whatever it is. Is it, I want to bless the Lord, or I want to desire and delight in Him? Because once we do that, everything else is a piece of cake. If we start to delight ourselves in Him, then all we have is what flows out of us, which is pure delight, pure power, mercy and grace that's bestowed upon us. We're going to have a genuine desire. When our desire is delighting the Lord, then our desire is building those around us and encouraging them to dream big, step out in faith, to bless people and build the kingdom. Everyone in here, I want you to know, your dream is too small. What you've been dreaming for your life, doesn't matter how young or how old, doesn't matter, you're still allowed to dream. And God can still use you in a mighty way. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I want you to know the Word of God says He'll use anybody that agrees with Him. He doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what your last name is. He doesn't care what you've done. The only thing He cares about is, do you trust Him? And then down in Hebrews 10, 32 to 34, it says, of course, in 35, it says, therefore, so we've got to go back to chapter 10 and verses 32 and 34, and it says, remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Tell your neighbor, say, you got a better possession coming. So many times we're spending our whole lives with the possessions that are here that are worthless and the ones that are going to be burned. But God said, you've got a better possession and a lasting one that's coming when we serve Him. The test isn't about failing a second time or a third time or a fourth time. It's about to keep learning. See, the only time that we fail completely is when we decide to stop learning. I forget what the statistic was that I read, but they said a high percentage of pastors don't read anything except getting ready for the next sermon. It's terrible. Because if you stop learning, we've got a desire to learn. I would encourage all of you kids in college, learn what finances are all about, because the school won't teach you anything. They'll keep you dumb and say that you got to work hard and get a job with a good retirement, and that's all you can hope for. Make a payment on a house and a car. That's not how finances work. Works a lot different than that, but they don't teach you that in school. But you're going to have to go out and get it. You're going to have to learn. And if you'll learn how to handle finances, you'll never have a problem with finances. If you don't learn how it works, you'll always have a problem with finances. It's that simple. You'll always be working from behind the eight ball, always hoping for a little bit more. But when you find out how finances work, everything changes. Well, I'm glad me, Brent, and Susanna agree. Help me, Jesus. You know, in the old days, back in the antiquities and the days of the kings, one of the things they did was they had confidence in their cupbearers and their wine tasters. And they had those men because they wanted to make sure that they didn't get poisoned. There was a purpose for it. Here, you take a sip. You check it, because your job is to be down there in the kitchen to make sure that you got it from the white barrel or the white wine, right wine barrel, that nobody else tampered with the cup of the king, because he rules the kingdom. Amen? So the focus was, their job was to make sure he didn't spill it, make sure it wasn't poisoned. They would taste it before they handed it to the king. The king would wait a minute or two. Wasn't that thirsty anyway? And just see how this guy responded. And if he dropped, they knew there was mutiny coming. They knew there was a traitor. They knew Benedict Arnold was in the building. And they knew somebody, it was going to cost them their lives besides the cupbearer. And I suppose they still do it now, right? Russia just did it, what, 2 years ago, a year ago, whatever it was. They poisoned one of the spies that they had that, I think he defected or something, didn't he? And they tried to poison him, but he survived. So it still goes on today. You know, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 26, because I want you to think about that. God wants you to have confidence in Him that He's able to keep you. You don't need a cupbearer. We just need the Lord. And it says in Matthew 26 and verse 36 to 41, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, the oil press, and said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And He took with Him Peter, James, and John, or Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. And then He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and he said, "Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we know Gethsemane means oil press, and it was a pressure time for the Lord. And as the pressure comes in our lives, how are we going to respond? You know, the cupbearer would come and he would taste the wine to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. But what a king we have, where he knew the cup was poisoned. He knew when he drank this cup, he was going to die. And he did it anyway for each and every one of us. He knew this would cost him his life. And he said, "No, you guys aren't able to drink this cup right now. I'm the only one that can, and it's going to take my life from me for a season. You guys are going to scatter. But this is what I have to do, not my will, but the one who sent me." What a father we have. What a king we have. He said, "I don't want you drinking the poison. I'm going to take it all. All the sins, all the lies about you, all the mistakes, every demonic power that's ever tried to destroy you, I'm going to take it all for you. And then I'm going to win this battle once and for all. I'm going to win the victory." See, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know you're not going it alone if you know Jesus Christ. I don't know what's happening. Don't think that you're there with that cup and you've got to drink it all by yourself. He already drank it, so you didn't have to. He drank that cup so that you could walk in your freedom. Yes. He drank the cup of poison, and now it's not poisonous anymore. The cup that he has for you is a different cup. Oh, there's going to be some suffering. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some pressure that comes into your life, and it's coming to America as a whole because they've rejected God in so many areas. So pressure is coming. Pressure is coming, but he's already won the battle for each and every one of us. Amen? This is what he's done for each one. And, you know, every time I read this, all I can think about is, I think it was Maxwell years ago, and he said, you know, could you imagine being the rest of the disciples when Jesus says, "Peter, James, and John, come with me." You know, and they're sitting back there, the rest of them are hanging out saying, "Peter, James, and John, Peter, James, and John." All they ever hear about is Peter, James, and John. And then Andy says to Philip, "Phil, how does that make you feel? Peter, James, and John, Peter, James, and John." Phil says, "Well, that bothers me a little bit." But he said, "I don't care when they go or where they go. I just can't stand them when they come back. Oh, we were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we saw Moses, and we saw Elijah, and we were going to build some temple. I wish you would have stayed there and built some temples," he says. "Some memorials for them. Peter, James, and John, that's all we ever hear." And then Andrew looked over to Thomas and he said, "Thomas, did he ever ask you to go?" He said, "No, and I doubt he ever will." See, Jesus was created for that moment in time, and you were too. You weren't supposed to be born any earlier than this or any later than this. But God's getting you prepared for the pressure that's coming in America because you're supposed to be the one that leads. You're the one that can handle that pressure. You're the one that can pour it out on the Lord and say, "Father, I can't do this except through you." And no matter what the issue is, when people come to you, you have the answer when we get in the Word of God. You know, when Jesus, as he walked through this, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And what confidence he had in the Word of the Father. What confidence he had. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be beaten. He's going to suffer crucifixion. But he had such faith in God's word that he knew he was going to rise again. Scripture says to us in John, it says that even if you die, yet shall you live. Do you fear dying? Because if you fear dying, then you don't believe the word of God. It's that simple. If you're afraid to die, to step out in faith and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're afraid to die, then you don't have confidence in his word. Because his word says, "Though you die, yet shall you live. And you'll live with me forever. And I'm going to make a place for you, and I've got a book, and your name is in it." But it's not just about saying a simple prayer. Can we get past that? That's what it's been boiled down to. Just say a prayer to you believe in Jesus and you're good. Live any way you want. Wrong. Because when pressure comes, those are the first ones that buckle. Those are the ones that run away. They cower. They hide. And they absolutely compromise who they are in Jesus Christ. It's about those who get into the Word of God. Those that get committed to a body. Those that walk with one another. Because we need one another. I need your strengths in order to transform this world that God has given us. Listen, we live in this area for a reason. And the promise of God became a reality in Jesus' life, didn't it? The promise that God said that his blood would take away the sins of the world, would satisfy the wrath of God so it's no longer against you. Jesus believed the word of God. He fulfilled the word of God, and the word of God came to pass. Yeah. If we'll believe the word of God, fulfill the word of God, if you're called to preach in here, then you better get preaching.
Amen.
If you're called to worship, you better get worshiping.
Amen.
If you're called to work with kids, you better get working with kids.
That's right.
Because that's the gift that God placed on the inside of you. If you're supposed to prophesy, you better get prophesying. Where's the microphone? Who's got a word? All right, we'll give you a break today. But it's that simple, right? Because if we believe, like Jesus believed the word of God, he believed that what God's word said, the Father sent him down and he said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to mock you, ridicule you for doing nothing wrong. And that blood must be shed. That body must be destroyed on the cross for the salvation of all mankind. And Jesus said, he said, I don't want to do this, Dad. Probably you said the same thing to the Lord. I know I did when they said you need to start preaching. I'm like, yeah, that ain't for me. I got other things to do. I hated plumbing, but I'd rather plumb than preach. Back then, I didn't want, never wanted to be a plumber. But when they said, yeah, we need you to be a pastor, I'm like, yeah, I'm good with plumbing. I hated plumbing. Hated it. But I was so petrified of doing what he called me to do. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to fail miserably. Dad, you're wrong on this one. You got this one wrong. There's other guys better qualified. Can I tell you, there's nobody better qualified than you in this room to change the world through the word and the power of God. There's nobody. There's nobody on the planet better qualified than you. It's what you were created for. You were created by the King. His majesty put his divine hand upon. He created, he placed a heart in you, a gift in you, a talent. He prepared you to be the answer. And how many of them say, Lord, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to look at the cup. Forget about taking this cup from me. I'm not touching the cup. I'm not going to drink from the cup. I'm staying away from the cup because I'd rather do something else. What else satisfies except that which God called us to do? If you want to know why you feel, I'll look at the camera because, hi guys. I don't care what they look, you know, what they, how they feel right now, but or their faces that they're going to make because I can't see them. But how many are so frustrated because you're not fulfilling the call that God has placed on your life? You want to know why things are going sideways? Because there's things out of order. We've got other priorities higher than what God created us for. And anytime that we walk in that, then we walk outside of his perfect plan. And in that place, there's always frustration. Always. Okay. Now I can look back at you guys. Because right now, there's a purpose and a plan in each one of your lives. Each and every one. And you are divinely chosen. You were chosen, if you're here this morning or you're watching this morning, you were divinely chosen to represent him on the earth just like Jesus did. No difference. He said, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. If you pray for them, they'll be forgiven. If you forgive their sins, then their sins will be forgiven, right? This is what he said. He said, hey, you go forgive their sins. Everybody's like, what? I can't do that. You can pray with them. They repent. Their sins are forgiven according to the word of God. Amen? Right. And then he said, you're going to pray for them. Then you're going to train them. You're going to teach them. You're going to build in them. You're going to pour into them. And then they're going to look to you and say, wow, how did you get so smart? How do you do this? I could never do what you do. That's what people will say when you build into their lives. Because you are light years ahead of most of the world. Most of them, because you have the wisdom of God. Shall we say no to the cup he has chosen for each one of us? It's the cup of dying to self. Shall we say we're too busy, too broken, too lazy, too young, too old? Look at Luke chapter 9, and this will be the last scripture. Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. Jesus doesn't have to use a lot of words. Can I tell you, this is the two words he's saying to everybody in this house. Follow me. That's it. There's nobody else in between you and the Father. It's the same thing he said to those disciples. We are the disciples now on the earth. He's saying the same thing. He didn't say, follow me if, follow me when. He said, follow me another day or week or month or hour or year. He just said, follow me. And then a typical response from men and women. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't let him off. He didn't say, oh yeah, there's something more important than I am on the planet. In verse 61, he says, another also said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one. Tell your neighbor, say, no one. After putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one. It's a plan that God has. It's a purpose that God has. Look, these aren't my words. These are God's. And the reason why I believe Jesus is so direct here, he just said, follow me. And he said, if you turn back, you're not worthy of me. In other words, if you've got another priority that's higher than the one that I've given you, holy mackerel, think about that. I have chosen something greater than what the King of the universe has called me to do. Ouch. And Jesus said, if you're not going to do what I ask you to do, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Those aren't my words. But it brings pressure in our lives because now we start doing some of that introspection, don't we? And it doesn't matter just because I'm pastoring. It doesn't mean that there's no distractions that I have, that I've still got to get closer. I've still got to die to myself even more. Every one of us in this room, everyone, other than the Hams, according to Jeremy. Most people's prayers are a 911 prayer, right? Help! We don't pray until it's too late, which obviously is never too late, but we're already in the thick of it. You know, but we need to have that Psalms 91:1 prayer, don't we? What does that say? Anybody remember? He who... Come on. He who abides. That's right. He who abides. That means a prayer life every day. That means time with him every day. That means he's got the priority in my life every day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And in verse 2, it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. That's where we've got to get back to. Because if we're going to walk through times and seasons, people are going to let you down. Tell your neighbor, say, I will let you down. Tell your other neighbor, say, you will let me down. All right? The reality is we're all going to let one another down at different times. And the only one that we're going to be able to walk with is him. And if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, then we eliminate man from being my problem. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not my problem. Just look at the other person. Don't say nothing. They already know. There's nobody in this room that's your problem. If there's an issue that's going on, it's because our hearts need to get right with the King. And he needs to have precedence in everything. Jesus said, follow me. Do everything that I told you to do, and you're going to walk in places that you only dreamed of. Things are going to happen in your life, some of them quickly, some of them you're going to learn some long-suffering, some of them you're going to find pressure in, but pressure is when men and women are made. You find out who you really are in pressure. You know the silliest term that's out there, but yet they use it all the time, is armchair quarterback. Right? We've all been one. Oh, that guy was wide open. Why did he do that? Because he's fallible man. And he's got a little bit of pressure because he's making about 3,700 decisions in a second and a half to get rid of that ball. And we all sit there, we sit back. You know who does the most talking? The ones who do the least. We've all been critical of people, haven't we? Lord, forgive us. Other people carry, I can't tell you how many people told me that all the things that I've done wrong since I've been here, since 99. Oh, don't be laughing, you're some of them. Oh yeah, I heard about it. And you know what? Some of you were right. Some were right. I made mistakes. But until you carried a load, how about we pray for somebody? How about we pray for one another? I didn't ask to carry this load. And I throw it all off on the Lord all the time. But there's sleepless nights because I'm praying for you guys. Constantly thinking, Lord, how can I preach in such a way that everyone in here wants to take their gift and lay it on the altar for the King? That's the biggest cry of my heart when I wake up early in the morning. When God gets me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Lord, how do I share your word in such a way that everybody wants to take their heart and give it to you and say, Father, I'm letting go of everything else. That's my cry always. Because I see the gifts and the talents in here, and I know the King does. Because every leader that we need is sitting right here. Every leader we need to start 10 more churches is sitting right here. All the worship leaders we need, right here. All the people working in children's church, youth ministry, right here. We just have to make a decision. Follow me. Drink the cup that I have chosen. Just drink his cup. Don't be an armchair quarterback. Please don't complain about what I'm doing. Well, you can, I guess, but at least do it to my face. I like that better. That works better for me. You think I'm doing it wrong? Come on into my office. Trust me, I'm married, I know, okay? I'm doing it wrong, all right? But as the body of Christ, can we believe the best in one another? Can we believe the best so that we can draw that heart out, draw that gift out? I'm not going to stand before God with anybody. You're not either. And that calling upon your life, it's a powerful calling. It's a beautiful calling. That calling on your life is something that the King of Glory put on you. No man did. I remember when the first time they prophesied over us at 89, over me and my wife, and man, I'll tell you, I wanted nothing to do with it, but it leapt inside of me. And I know there's others sitting here, you've been prophesied over, and that thing leapt inside of you. You know it's the truth, but where you are, I'll look at the camera again, I'm not going to judge. I'm only going to call you to go back to your words of prophecy and start waging war with that again and saying, Father, where did I go? Am I following you? Have I refused to drink the cup that you have given me? That's all I want to ask you to do. That's it. Jesus said, Father, I don't want to do this, not your way. If there's another, God said, there's none. And he brought him Gethsemane where the press was, and he started sweating drops of blood. You think he was under some pressure? He was. But because of his love for another, which is every one of us, and the Father most of all, he went to the cross. He went to the cross so you'd be victorious, I'd be victorious. He went to the cross, not only for our salvation, but for everyone around us. Because he knew that if you started to believe what the word says, that everybody around you would start to be changed. You know, Landon is, talk about going up to Hudson Valley to study up there for a couple years. The coach wanted to play football. We went up there, we sat in a meeting. My heart was so heavy that I have to go back and make a meeting with this coach. He's a football coach. I need another meeting with him. It was the darkest, most unprofessional interview I've ever sat in. Other young men coming in, cussing and swearing and just talking down. And I kept countering everything. I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. But not in a mean way. Because, well, you know, when you get a girl, where do you have a daughter? I said, oh, I have one of them. Yeah, well, they're a whole different ball game. Let me tell you something, they're tough. I said, well, my daughter's very strong, but she's wonderful. She's incredible. Well, you know, what I'm saying is, I said, what are you saying? Well, when you get a boy, I said, I love my boys. He's one of them. But just cussing and swearing, just so negative on anything. My heart broke for the man because he's got two kids. And man, I wanted to climb up on the table and say, hang on a second, shut up. We're going to start over. There's other moms and dads in here that have laid down their lives, raising their children the best way they knew how. And now you're going to talk about the filth that some of these other boys have gone through. Your experience now is what we're going to get into. And you think every boy's going to walk through the same? I don't think so. That's what I wanted to say. But me and him, I'm going to go back just one-on-one and sit and chat with him. I don't care who he is. Maybe Landon will never play a snap by the time I get done. I don't know, but the soul of that man and them babies are more important to me than anything else. And as I was praying this morning, I'm walking around here just praying for that man, and I'm praying for his family. The next thing you know, I was up there praying for the whole team. I was doing a little Bible study at the college. There was 180 students coming to the Bible study. Oh, I was getting it, man. I'm telling you. But you see, I believe that's how God wants us to dream. Amen? Amen. It's not about what that man did wrong. It's about what Jesus did right. God puts us in them dark places so our hearts burn with passion for a transformation and change. Using the gift that God's given us. Please, I'm begging you, use your gift this week. You're the answer for so many. Let's stand up this morning. You're getting ready to face some pressures you've never faced before. Those who stand on the word and in prayer, those who worship all the way through, thanking God for the answer long before we ever see it, they'll be the ones that have great confidence. You'll be able to see him real easy. Oh, Tyler, what were you? Oh, okay. Yes, sir. There's prayer request cards in the back. And so if you've got something you need prayer for, write it down because we're going to pray for it during the week. Yeah, just throw it in the offering box when you're done. And you know, before we go, where's Tyler? Tyler, come here. Listen, get used to taking orders, all right? All right, and then when I call you, you run, and then you jump. Tyler's leaving for army training. And so we're just going to pray and release him, amen? He's going to learn how to study in dirt, how to eat it, how to sleep in it, how to cover your body in it, and all those other fun things, and then he's going to go into the nursing program. So let's just pray for him as he heads out. Father, we just thank you. Lord, you began a good work. You were the one that began it. And Lord, you said you're able to complete it. Oh, Lord, our eyes get off sometimes, but Lord, I pray that as he walks out of this house today and he leaves on Tuesday, and he leaves on Tuesday. Father, that he remembers those words, my God started a good work in me, and he's able to complete it. His word is what will keep me. His word will guide me. His word will make a way where there seems to be no way. And so, Father, anything that we're trying to come against him, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for freedom through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we pray your blessing upon him as he goes. Lord, let his words bring life to those that are lost. Let his words, oh God, change and transform others in the freedom of Jesus Christ alone. So, Father, we thank you for the word of God that's been built into Tyler right now. We thank you, Father, for another one that will change the world for the sake of his King. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. When we were in Guatemala putting a roof on, hope they ain't going to ask him to put high roofs on. Tyler was a little nervous. Between him and Gavin, I said, just shimmy across them and break it. And they're both hugging the poles like cats. Ah, that's a little high. That's a little far down. Get out there and break down. Come on. Finally, they did. And I'll never forget Tyler when he came off the roof. He goes, we did it. That was incredible. I never did anything like that before. There'll be things you've never done before when you go in the Army, that's for sure. But you'll be able to do it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. You're the one that perseveres in each one of our lives. Lord, when we were too weak, you came alongside to make us strong. Father, when we were feeling low, you were the lifter of our heads. When we couldn't see, Father, you opened up our eyes. Lord, when we thought we were all alone, you showed us those that how many more are with us and those that are against us. Father, today I thank you for the men and women in this house. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this building, we go home and ponder, what has the King of Glory deposited in me? What has he deposited in me? What's his desire? What's he trying to draw out? For I know I'll never be satisfied outside of his will. No matter what it is, no matter where we are, Father, I pray that we would be able to see the distractions so clearly. Everything the enemy throws at us. For it doesn't matter what the Fed does, we can still get people saved. It doesn't matter how much inflation is out there, we can still lead people to Christ. We can still train and equip and we can still bless no matter what our government is doing. For we agree that the governments of this world, the kingdoms of this world, have become the kingdoms of our God. You rule and reign supreme over them all. You're the one that turns the head of a king and the heart of a king. And so, Father, I pray that you turn the heart of every leader in this country. Father, that you would arrest them right now through your Holy Ghost. Grab a hold of their hearts, oh God. Lord, till they can't even breathe. They buckle their knees and they repent and they give their lives to you. And once again, to solidify and steady that which you have started here in this country, that your name would be glorified and the whole world be blessed by a giving nation that gives the way that the King has taught us to. So, Father, I thank you for the freedom in our hearts today to do your will. Lord, let us take the cup, for we know that in that there's a fullness. And Lord, we thank you that you're teaching us to prepare for pressure. And when pressure comes, we're going to run to you. Lord, when pressure comes, we're going to surround ourselves with men and women to pray that we would have the strength to walk through. When that pressure comes, it's just you pruning us and preparing us for something greater than we've ever experienced before. Let us not run from the pressure. Let us not run, Father, but let us run to you and say, Father, how do I handle this now that you have given me this cup? We've watched your Son walk in victory. We watched the apostles walk in victory. Some couldn't even be killed before their time. None of them did. Peter being crucified upside down. John boiled in oil and still lives. Isolated to make small rocks out of big ones and then released from that island also. Lord, it's amazing. And when men were made and their hearts were steadfast in you, your word ruled and reigned preeminent. what you were able to do, changing the entire world through 12, then 120, and then 500. And Lord, we're thankful that we're changed by you this morning. So I pray your blessing upon each one here, that they would sit tonight or this afternoon and meditate on the cup that you have given, so that you would be glorified through their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.